Well, we play some crazy clips, have some commentary. I tell an embarrassing story, take some calls, do some news. All coming up right after I tell you about Bet Online. Sports, man, they're coming back. Stuff to wager on, finally, man. And you can do it with our exclusive partner, betonline.ag. Having a big UFC weekend coming up. NASCAR, Formula One, it's all out there, full swing. Need more? BetOnline has simulated NFL Madden games, NBA 2K, and UFC Daily Plus. Future odds on everything you can imagine. So totals, division odds, every league championship. I don't know. What are the Rams going to do this year? Are they going 10-6? What's the over-under? Go ahead. Go to BetOnline. Put something down. Visit betonline.ag, or you can use your mobile device. Use the promo code PODCAST1 for your welcome bonus. Visit betonline.ag, our exclusive partner at PODCAST1. And don't forget, use the promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Hey, it's Adam Carolla. For those of you who caught my live stream stand-up recently, you know we partnered with Live by Live to make that show available free of charge. And Live by Live has so much more to offer. Remember what MTV used to be? When M stood for music? That's what Live by Live is, but it's much better. The all-in-one music app provides live streaming concerts, thousands of streaming radio stations, expertly curated and in every genre of music, podcasts like The Adam Carolla Show, and tons of original music and entertainment content. Our friends at Live by Live offer to give fans of my podcast 2 months free of Live by Live Plus, which gets you no ads and unlimited audio skips. Just go to livexlive.com and search for Adam Carolla, or get the LiveX Live app. That's livexlive.com, or download the LiveX Live app to start listening to music and watching the very best concerts.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is The Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Danny Trejo. With Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and Dave Damashek's here for good sports. And now, back in stock and ready to rock. Fuck you, New York Times. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in and thanks for sharing. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And mute Brian. Bald Brian just,
What the hell happened?
He dumped a sensible shake for lunch on his equipment.
This is a fucking comedy of errors. I'm working so hard to like put on weight, right? The part of my medication is weight loss loss of appetite, right? And my weight is the lowest ever been. My doctor's like, yeah, you got to put on some weight. I've talked to Vinny about putting on weight with like protein and fats and like trying to stay keto during this whole thing. So I'm making shakes every day. You know, it's the protein powder Vinny recommended. It's Laird's superfood coconut stuff, which you guys have there at the studio. Mm-hmm. It's heavy cream. It's butter. It's collagen. It's everything. It's trying to put like healthy pounds on me. I get it right here as I'm setting everything up, and it's got a straw, and this little part of my sleeve just
caught the straw.
I just hooked the straw. Thank silver lining, I suppose. It seems to have missed all of the valuable equipment.
Well, I'd say that's a silver lining.
It's a huge mess, and I'm sitting in shake. But here's my commitment to you, listeners. I'm here.
So what's in the shake? What's the base? What do we start off with?
Ice and water, obviously, to stay hydrated. Vinny recommended a protein powder that he likes, so I got the protein powder.
Is it the egg white?
No, he said egg white's okay, but he recommended the whey protein powder. Okay. And then the scoop of that, scoop of collagen peptides, coconut collagen peptides.
I don't know the collagen. What does the collagen do?
I don't know. It's designed for like hair and nails and teeth. It's that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
It's
okay. Collagen. It's awesome.
And then the collagen and the layered Hamilton stuff, which we have at the studio, which is MCT oil, coconut oil, mm-hmm. then actual MCT oil, mm. then a slice of butter just for calories and fat. And then peanut butter, a scoop of peanut butter, an all natural peanut butter, of course, a little bit of either half and half or heavy cream, depending on what I'm feeling that day. 3 drops of stevia, just because it's unflavored protein powder. Vinny recommends the nut, the vanilla, and the chocolate and shit. Mm. And I think that is pretty much it.
Brian, do you do the show from the toilet?
I'm pooping a lot.
Well, look, as long as we're going to talk about it, I wasn't really going to talk about it because my goddamn, the only one in my house who listens to the show is Olga. And then Olga likes to bust my chops when I come walking into the kitchen, you know, but I had to do one of those chick jogger poop on the fly moves yesterday for the first time in my entire career.
You soiled La Cañada?
Where'd the poop go?
Well, I don't know. Where do dogs go after they die? You know,
I didn't know if it was a receptacle of some kind or into some
no,
ivy.
They go to a mythical ranch. I had made the mistake of downing a big glass of iced coffee before I hit the road.
That'll do it.
It was about 7 in the evening, was plenty light outside. I hit the road and I'd got a little distance from my home, too far. There's a point in aviation, and it's the same as shitting in your own toilet. In aviation, any pilot will tell you, like a commercial airline pilot will go, once you get to like 140 knots and 3,000 feet down the thing, it doesn't matter if the engine catches on fire. We're going. We're not. There's no turning back.
Point of no return.
You just literally throttle up and go. We can't stop the plane while we're on the runway. We'll go into the bay. Like that's how it works. So I was past that point. I could not get home.
Your engine was on fire.
And my stomach was like grumbling and gurgling and everything. And I was like, oh, dear God, now what? Where am I? I started looking around and there was a big open field and with some shrubs and stuff next to the freeway. Sadly, a church next to it.
And the
church is always empty, right? The church is always empty. So I get out, I literally run to the top of this field, it's elevated, and there's some shrubbery on the side. I get as far out of the off the road as I can get. But as I get there, I realize there's an elderly couple in a lone van in this church. There's no other parking. There's nothing. And the woman gets out, and she's standing in the parking lot. She's kind of looking at me like, well, what was the guy doing in the vacant lot standing with his back to the freeway, you know? And then the older guy gets out, and they have a dog, and I'm just staring at them, and they're just looking at me. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, there's nobody. The church isn't even open. I don't know what they're doing. There's no other cars there, anything. Eventually,
they were there for the same reason.
No, eventually they get my stomach's like gurgling the whole time, and eventually they get their dog and they start walking toward this sort of wooded park area. And man, I just drop them and go. Oh
yep.
man,
yep,
yeah, it was big time. No,
God understands.
Yeah. What's the cleanup process?
I knew this question. Like? I knew this question would need to be answered.
It's a logical follow-up.
I thankfully have an almost full bottle of water with me, which is a lifesaver.
Is this a DIY bidet situation?
No, it's a, you know, grab a fast food wrapper blowing around the lot, okay. Use it, and then use the water to try to clean myself. Try to clean the business end of my hand up with it. Later on, when I was walking, I happened upon another church. And this this place had a drinking fountain in front. So I was able to really rub a dub dub. Oh, yeah.
But this just into the Southland, a rash of vandalism at local churches in La Cañada.
And again, I'm not,
desecration.
I'm not, my thing is like, I'm not delicately wired, as anyone has heard me talk for a long time, but it's just Olga's here. She listens and she's going to say something in the kitchen and it's going to be embarrassing. That's why I was going to play it close to the vest, but now after Brian brought up the protein shake thing, I think my silence would be deafening. You know what I mean? If I didn't talk about shitting in a vacant lot yesterday.
Yeah. You have a duty.
I don't want to deal with that online barrage of what about you? How come? Anyway.
Yeah. Who among us?
This was left in the shake. This is my lunch.
There's 3/4 inch at the bottom of the cup. All right. We had there's something I wanted to play, which I heard on a radio show. I can't remember which one, but there was an incident a few days back. Set it up, Max Zapata.
All right. So this is the New York Community Education Council meeting where all the people in the district, this is District 2, get together and kind of talk about lesson plan, future, things like that. So last month, they did a meeting, and Kendall put a picture up. And while they were doing a meeting, one of the people in the meeting had a black baby on his lap. He's white. And so while they were talking, he had a black baby who would come on and off of his lap, bouncing him around. And you'll see the picture there. Mm-hmm. And people were kind of bothered by the image of this. And then there was a point somewhere in the meeting where they're talking about racism. And he makes the joke, well, my living room seems to be integrated right now. And so there's some tension building. So then they have another meeting at the end of June, and they decided to address what happened at the previous meeting. And Cam will play you a clip of one of the people just being
upset. Got to do the math. First off, did the apartment come with a black baby, or did he?
So the math is, and he did say this, it's his friend's nephew. So his friend was over with her nephew.
All right. So he picked up the baby and was bouncing it on his knee. And now, we're talking about, put the clip down for a second. And you have to hear this through the eyes of this. Remember, we were drilling down a week ago where I said the mayor of Oakland, even though she found out that the hoops that were hung on the tree were just hoops so that people near the park could exercise, mm-hmm. that didn't matter. She was still moving ahead with an investigation. Mm-hmm. And she said how important it was to have this sort of presumption of guilt before, as we move forward, to find this stuff that doesn't fucking exist. What an insane waste of time and resources. But also, sweetheart, you're running a city? And this is the way you think? I've been telling you guys for a long time, when people say, you go, oh, the guy made a joke, or you thought he said this, but he didn't say that, or whatever it is. And people go, yeah, but he shouldn't have done it anyway. And I go, why? Why? Unless you've actually done something that's bad. And because people go, yeah, but you have to understand the optics. And I've always pushed back against that. Like, because this is where it leads. It leads mm-hmm. to people wanting to tear down something or investigate something or criticize somebody or call them racist when nothing exists. And then people go, but you should have known better anyway. But I don't know what that means. And who does anyone want to live in that society where nothing mm-hmm. happened, but you should have not done it anyway?
Should have known better.
Yeah, all right.
Should have known better about nothing.
We'll play you the clip from the gal
who
took a look a little umbrage with the guy and the kid on the knee.
Racist, it hurts people when they see a white man bouncing a brown baby on their lap and they don't know the context. That is harmful. That makes people cry. It makes people log out of our meetings. They don't come here. They don't come to our meetings, and they give me a hard time because I'm not vocal enough, and I'm not trying to be a martyr. I'm trying to illustrate to you that you think I'm a fuck excuse me, you think I'm a social justice warrior and you think I'm being patronizing and I'm getting pressure for not being enough of an advocate. And I take that to heart and that hurts me. And I have to learn to make how to be a better white person.
I would like
you
to
don't
know
have people telling adjourns, you that.
I would like to know before this meeting adjourns how having my friend's nephew on my lap was hurtful to people and was racist. Can you please explain?
Tom, I've explained it to you. You can Google, you can read a book. Read a book. Read Abraham Kendi. Read white fragility. Read how to talk to white people. No, it's not my job to.
All right.
So that's just a portion of it.
She's a teacher? She's an educator?
Yeah, and this is an hour. This is a 90-minute meeting, and this yelling went on for about an hour.
This is the beginning.
Yeah, and actually, there were multiple teachers just as fired up as she was through it as well. So
just as fired up as
she
was. They all took her side. Which, by the way, they didn't take her side. They don't want to get yelled at. Which is a scary direction we're going in society.
But she didn't take her side either, because if you could actually decipher what she was shrieking, first of all, who's the racist, the one with the black friends or the one without the black friends? But if you could actually hear anything she was saying, which was difficult, she was yelling about the pressure that she's under to do more. She wasn't, you know, could you hear that? Like that inner turmoil she was having? I am being pressured to do more to say that you are wrong and I am angry, was what she was saying. She wasn't really yelling at the guy.
Yeah, well,
you know what I mean? She was confused.
All roads lead to narcissism. So all this stuff you're feeling, it's like, how am I supposed to feel? It's like, well, what's this have to do with you?
Right. Another.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Also, the same teacher said, one of her quotes was, I have 40 plus years of white supremacy I need to undo. And then another teacher says, yeah, my friends were texting me and I was so embarrassed to tell them about what happened and it's your fault. So it was odd.
Okay, I'm going to come at this from a different angle. Basing my opinion on the 30 seconds we just saw. Okay, so this dude it seems as though he used the kid as a prop or just kind of like there's no context for him to have a baby, let alone a friend's baby on his lap. So he's kind of look at me guy like, I don't have fucking any time for this person. That said, I agree with you guys 100%. This is a wild overreaction and frankly feels like a non sequitur almost. Like, I don't know what she's mad about. I don't know what makes it racist, but again, this guy needs some blame too. This is look at me guy, or this is hey, I'm funny prop guy. It's like, oh, all right, okay, I don't have any time for this fucker.
Do you think he was using him as a prop?
Well, the fact, like, what context is there for me to have my niece on my lap during the show? Keep him in another room. There's no context for that.
Well, I mean,
do you guys disagree?
Well, I don't. First off, I have no idea what he's doing. If you're in a small apartment and you have a, I don't know, 3-year-old or 2-year-old kind of trotting around, just sort of, I don't know, it's sort of like people's dogs show up in their thing, like because the dog walks up to them and then they start petting them or something. So if the kid walked up to him and was like interacting with him, he might have thrown him on his knee. I don't know if it's grandstanding or showboating.
Tessa has been all over this fucking house the last 3 months. Have you seen her on video once? No, I keep her in another room. I try and keep some sort of decorum for the show.
But if there is someone over, and you know this, I'm sure, Brian, we experience it here. If you're in an open room and there are people around and a little one sees other faces on a screen, you know, he may have been milling around and put him on his lap, like, you know, to see the other. We don't know.
We ultimately don't know. Was it more than once, though, that he had the kid in the thing?
Not sure.
It was on and off. Like, I guess the kid would just keep coming because he's one. So he would just walk up to his lap and put his arms up like he wanted to be held. And so he'd put him on his lap, bounce him, put him down, and then he would come back up again. And
what are you going to do? Smack him away, Brian?
I take back everything I said.
Yeah. Brian, this is why Brian keeps a fireplace poker with him, because in case a loving young child approaches him, he
wide-eyed.
Can hit him with the.
She knows now.
Yeah, you can upgrade to what's called a bang stick. Bang sticks are what you do with sharks. It's a stick with a shotgun shell on the end of it, and pow!
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
You guys ever hear of a bang stick?
Now I
thought you were talking about the things that at Seahawks games, like the thunder sticks.
If you look up bang stick, you will freak out. You will see people put a shotgun shell on the side of a shark. But anyway, what did the
Chris
aunt,
put your safe search on?
What did the aunt say?
So Thomas is beginning a little bit of attention. So he brings in the aunt, and they do a video together. And I should just avoid confusion. The baby's name is John Mayer. So when they say John Mayer, they're talking about the baby.
Okay,
that's cool.
It was even times that John Mayer would motion or insinuate for Tom to pick him up because Tom had him on the computer doing whatever he wants, and he was interested in the computer bright lights. He's 1 year old. So I don't think there's anything wrong that went on that night, but the fact that middle-aged white women are telling me how to feel, and I'm a strong black woman, I'm a strong black young mother, I don't need anyone to tell me how I feel. I wouldn't let anyone disrespect my nephew.
Well, there you go. So she's
well,
she's
just like the loops in the park, the case has been solved.
Yes.
You know?
We don't have to move forward with the investigation. But I will say, sort of like the Ferguson effect in policing, cops not wanting to get out of their cars or do proactive policing, the murder rate goes up. And in terms of race relations, like being scared to reach out to a young black kid or put them on your lap or even the optics of whatever, you know what I mean? Like everyone going, I don't want to take a picture. I don't want it to seem like whatever. I was talking to Leno the other day, and we're sort of talking about everyone sort of reading everything into everything. And he was doing like car karaoke or whatever. I don't remember what the bit was, but
carpool karaoke.
He had a like a black backup singers in the car behind him, and he was singing some song, that some old, you know, Sam and Dave song or Sam Cooke song or something. And it was like Leader of the Pack or the leader. And someone's like saying to him, are you sure you like the optics of the white guy saying leader or boss man or something like that with the black people? And if we're going to start reading it into every, we'll find it everywhere. And we'll find it everywhere. And once we find it everywhere, sensible people who don't feel like getting screamed at by chatty Karens, those people are just going to go, you know what? Fuck it. Like, don't bring the kid over.
Not worth it.
Yeah. It's not worth
Why
it.
Why risk it?
I don't want to do it. And then there's going to be like an element of like, I don't want to be, let's just stay away. You know, black people go over there. White people go over here. I don't want to get into this. I don't want to make jokes. I don't want something to come across as the wrong way. I don't want to have somebody, it's going to work that way. People are wired that way.
Yep. Yeah, it's essentially saying the kid doesn't need another loving adult presence in his life. It's not worth it. What damage did you just do to a one-year-old who didn't deserve it?
As it pertains to Leno, there's a context. The song requires a certain sound. That sound is black backup singers, and they're called backup singers.
I know, but you know, again, someone's just trying to find it. And if you're looking for something, you will find it, especially if you're looking to be insulted or slighted or whatever that is.
Well, and this might be an extremely naive question. And if I thought for a few minutes, I'm sure I could come up with my own answer. But if you're always looking for something, which means you'll always find it, why are we always looking for this? Why aren't we looking? Why isn't there any balance? It's not that we have to look for one or the other, but why are we always looking for the problem?
Well,
interesting.
There's a business to some degree. It's a business. This sort of this country being a racist country is a business. That the book that she spat out was called White Fragility, I think. It's an insane book by all accounts. I've not read it, written by a middle-aged white woman who has been selling millions of copies, just describing what a horrible racist country we're in and then how to go about it. So if you looked at the New York Times bestseller list a week and a half ago or whenever I was supposed to be on it, out of the 15 books, 11 of them were race-based. So you want to move some units? You got to keep this thing going. CNN works, MSNBC, a lot of the news outlets, a lot of the pundits on TV, you know, Al Sharpton, these guys, they have a job. This is their job. This is a big deal. And it works well for the media as well. So we're going to keep pedaling this bike. I told everybody when I was a kid, there was a mark. And I think you'd have to ask anyone maybe over 40, but it's kind of hard to say when is a country, when is a nation not racist anymore? Like, how do we do it? How do we, what's that finish line? There isn't a straight line, you know? We've had slavery, Jim Crow. When is any nation? You know, let's just forget about our nation. Let's say Germany or France or something. When are they not racist against a group? Okay, let's say, I'll go deep here, but let's just say Germany was always racist against Prussians. I don't even know if this works, but they hate it. But then you find out one year that the president of Germany, they elected a Prussian guy, you know, 2 years in a row or two cycles in a row, or the chancellor, whatever the hell you are of Germany. But the point is this, you'd say, all right, well, that country has fixed a lot of its issues with Prussians, obviously, if they voted two times. Right. So when I was a kid, it was always first black president of the United States. That's our mark. That's in a rule in a world where there's no measuring sticks to figure out when racism is over. We use that. So when I was 14, it'd be like, when is this country ready for a black president, or would we do it, or could we do it, or would he be assassinated, or whatever that is. But that was always the mark that comedians used and spokesmen. When we have a then. And so we elected a black president to two terms, and then we upped it. After that, we kicked it up another notch after the black president. So it seems to me mostly self-imposed, as you saw there. It's gonna continue. And I would suggest, whether it's with your country or it's with your spouse, I keep going micro and macro, but we all know that feeling of having a relationship and kind of looking for something. Maybe it wasn't a good relationship, but you know, you do that, or your parents, or vice versa, or whatever it is, stepdad, where you go, this person always is fill in the blank, lazy or late or not organized or something. And then you like show up and you go, oh, look at them. They left a half can of soda out on the thing. Look at it. They're so unorganized. I wish they could get there. Yeah. And then at some point you see somebody else, the maid or the kid or something, walk back and pick up the can of soda and walk out of the room. And you go, oh, it wasn't even the person, but I was trying to build a case. I was trying to, we're all guilty of it.
Yeah, your biases reverse engineer. You know what I mean? You start filling in. Everything starts to fit that narrative because you believe it so much.
Right. And so it shall be found. It'll be found if you're trying to build a case against your spouse, if you're looking for it, you'll build that case. Mm-hmm. And if you're trying to do it against society, you'll build that case.
I don't know if you've seen any of it yet, but I do have a clip of Terry Crews and Don Lemon for the news that I'll be very curious to get your reaction of.
Well, we'll save it for the news since the news is coming pretty soon. You have a bang stick. Sorry. It is a
What is it?
It's a stick that takes shotgun shells at the end
of it. What does that mean? Yeah.
Like the penguin.
And you use it when you're dealing with sharks. I used to be able to do it back when sharks were evil. Now sharks are good. Same shark. But the shark gets too close to you, pow, you punch it, you jab at it with the stick, and it blows a hole in them.
Damn.
So it
repels them.
Right, but it kills them, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you only use it once. Mm-hmm. It's not like a warning shot. It just kills them.
Yeah. And it works all the right. same for kids. That's all, I think, to come full circle here.
Full circle. Yeah.
There's, hey, Brian, you go can, on Amazon.
Matt, there's footage of, it's a little scary, but there's footage mm-hmm. of people underwater using a bang stick, just popping a hole in a shark. That's
if you're going to do that, if you're going to go into their house and do that, then into your house and take your head off. Why are you going underwater to shoot them? That's where they live.
Well, you know, the movie Jaws did not do sharks any favor at all, because after that fucking movie,
right.
people are just like, yeah, kill sharks. They're trying to kill us. Like that. It was game on with sharks. Oh, Gina,
yes, Peter
Benchley. You guys are, we're having a little internet interlude here. So hold on a second. We're having a little internet issue.
Yeah, I think we just dropped. So.
Well, I'll hit.
You're the one freezing up. Us.
Yeah, we're good.
I'll hit Victor.
Can 37. You see us? Because Brian and I are not locked up.
Yeah, it was locking up on this side. Oh. Hey, Victor.
Sir.
What's going on?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Honored to speak to all three of you.
Thanks.
Something that's been on my mind, and it's really been brought home with this coronavirus epidemic, is how there's so much information out there just readily available to everybody, and yet we seem to know less. We kind of joke about Googling me right, but like that you can really do that. And again, using this coronavirus epidemic as an example, you can look up actual data that'll make you think the sky is falling. And then you can look up data that will contradict that data or explain it away. And you could do that for both sides. And so, you know, I don't know if it's mm-hmm. so much of a question, but just something that's just been on my mind. It's really been brought home and thought it'd be an interesting topic for you guys.
Yeah. Well, I agree. I've been saying for a long time, everyone's going to have a good kind of a calibrated horse sense, and you're going to have to kind of be able to step back and look at things and also think about motivations and who's saying it and why they might be saying it. And now we're living in a world where we used to live in a world where a football game ended and the Patriots beat the Rams 13-3. We're now living in a world where the football game ends, the Patriots beat the Rams 13-3, and then someone else is saying, no, the Rams scored 17 points. And now I'm going, well, wait a second. I thought it was 13-3. And they go, yeah, there is no scoreboard. There is no official record. All we have is a group of people who say the Rams won and another group that says the Patriots won. And now you have to kind of look at the game film. They have to kind of go, I don't know the score anymore, but let me see who's moving the ball. Let me, right. So the Patriots had 421 total yards and the Rams had 161? Yeah, but they still won.
Special teams, man.
Yeah, let me take a look and see about passing yards and special teams and,
turnovers.
So the Patriots punted twice and the Rams punted 41 times. Yeah, but they still won. So you have to start digging through the data now, because each group is just going to say their side won. But you start looking at that data, start looking at the game stats and completion percentage and, you know, converted third downs and stuff like that. You can start to get to a picture. And also keep in mind that the Rams fans are going to say, oh, you want data? I got data. They sacked, Rams sacked Brady 2 times. And you got to go, okay. But that doesn't mean, that didn't mean he didn't throw 4 touchdowns. Yeah, no, right. let me do another one. They are obviously, and the Rams, they average 4.7 yards per punt return, and the Patriots averaged 3.2. Like, yeah. But that doesn't mean they've won. Like,
right.
Let me go find some of my own stats, not the stats that you're presenting to me. And I think it's that. I think it's a little bit of Victor, if you're still there. I think what you have to do is you'll get the, like with COVID, you'll go, okay, we got new cases, and you go, okay, that sounds bad. And then But there's other things that sound less bad. Like when you go, what is the average age of the new case? Or what is the death rate? What is the number of deaths compared to new cases? Or stuff like that. And then you just have to sift through your own data. You can arrive at your own conclusions once you do that. But keep in mind, you're going to get a proclamation, which is Rams 1, and then you're going to get data that works with that theme. Here's the data that works with the theme of Rams 1, or vice versa. And now you're going to have to take a dive into a deeper dive into all the data.
I tried to save this.
Oh, I just want to tell you real quick. I sent a picture a while ago to Chris. I can't find it on my phone. But to your exact point, I think I showed it to Brian at one point. I have two TVs on at the news station, Fox and CNN. And at the exact same time, I took a picture. They were both about coronavirus. The CNN side said something to the effect of magical thinking will not cure us of coronavirus. The Fox side said mass hysteria over coronavirus. And this was on at the exact same time and two totally different takes on something that we're all here to see, but we're looking at it through very different lenses.
And the Fox one actually said Merlin cures coronavirus.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Interesting.
Okay. Yes. I got cut off at the Chiron.
Yes, a wizard. So is Merlin a magician or a wizard?
He was a wizard.
It's okay.
All right. Well, well, that's what you do when you're a wizard. You do magic.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You cure things. All right. So, yeah. So now take a look at those two headlines and then go delve into the data a little. And that'll be helpful. And then also, horse sense. Remember, I know, the younger people I know who got this were, Bean of Kevin and Bean. And now, Brian Callen and Brendan Schaub got it as well. And I go, okay, they got it. Are they recovered? Like, did it kill them? Like, what happened? What kind of shape are they in? What kind of shame? And Bean told us in pretty good detail what he passed, what he had to deal with. But again, I've had the bad flu. And for the folks that I know who have got it or the ones that it's passed through them, it still sounds like a version of the bad flu that I had a number of years ago. Although, if you're in a nursing home, it's going to be something different. All right, let me hit Simply Safe. Number one sign of bad home security system. It's complicated and you never use it. You need something easy. Simply Safe. It's right in the title. Simple and safer. Designed to be easy to use while protecting your whole home 24/7. You can order online, open the box, place the sensors, peel and stick, plug it in. No technician or salesperson will come and disrupt your house. No outrageous monthly fees or multi-year contracts. We use it here. We've always used it. It's so easy. You don't have to drill. You don't have to pull wires. You don't have to crawl around in the crawl space under the house or in the attic. Named the best overall home security, by the way, 2020 by U.S. and World Report. 24/7 professional monitoring and emergency dispatch starts at just 50 cents a day. Right, Dawson?
Head to simplysafe.com/Adam and get a free HD camera for our listeners at simplysafe.com/Adam to make sure they know our show sent you.
Real fast, just because Dan's been on hold. Dan?
Hello?
What do I think about Stanford cutting a bunch of sports due to coronavirus and money, like wrestling?
Yeah. Do you want to see the other sports that were cut?
Sure.
The other sports are really weird. It's like co-ed. Hang on, I gotta go look at the list again. It's co-ed or men's and women's fencing was cut.
Fencing.
Fencing, exactly. And I know you have a lot of thoughts on that.
Yeah, I do. It's in the book, actually. Well, thank
you.
Dan, we're kind of up against it. We got the news. We got Danny Trejo as well. So I'll let you get the list together and call back. But yeah, my book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, back finally at Amazon and totally restocked. So get that. There's a whole section on fencing that's in there as well. All right, let's take a quick. Oh, you got a bang stick video?
Oh, no.
Oh, get on.
I don't like this one. He's just fucking with whatever that is.
Yeah.
What the fuck? From your description, he was just sort of... All right, fuck
that. That's a horrible guy.
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah. All right.
Now I hate Chris.
All right. It's a stick with a shotgun shell on the end of it. Home defense might work okay.
I was going to say, why don't we all have one of those?
I don't know.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
You got to get close enough.
I got to tell you, if you know, I think everyone's greatest fear is having the car surrounded by an angry mob these days. You pop out of that car and give one of those angry mobsters a shot with the bang stick. I'd say message sent.
Yeah, people disperse.
Usually. All right, quick break.
You can buy them on Amazon. You don't require a license or anything.
There you go. Oh, just a driver's license. All right, we'll take a quick break. Come back to the news right after this.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat. Stuff and booze. Adam's monthly nut. Adam's monthly nut.
Hey, Corolla fans, Mike Dawson here. I got some good news and some bad news. Bad news first, we're sold out of this month's Adam's Monthly Nut. Good news is you'll still be able to get all the incredible products from beerbong.com and Beard Bro after this month's Adam's Monthly Nut. Head to beerbong.com and get your 6-foot beer bong and a gold mine of other beer-related products. Believe us, you will get drunk and social distance if you need to. For all of you bearded men out there, remember to head to thebeardbro.com for all your facial hair needs. A big thank you to both Beardbro and Beerbong.com for participating in this month's nut. We'll see you soon for another shipment of Adam's Monthly Nut. The Adam Carolla Show salutes the winners of the COVID-19 pandemic. Brian Bishop. When the work from home orders came down, we took it seriously and took your health into consideration. You have a compromised immune system and a brain tumor. But what we didn't know you had is several houses across the state of California. So while that studio we built for you at your primary residence remained unused during this holiday weekend, you took 5 days to work from your other home, where you don't have access to a good microphone or any of the other stuff you need for your job. But hey, coronavirus. Congratulations, Brian. You are the winner of COVID-19.
Oh, Dawson, after he spilled the shake on his lap, I thought for sure you're going to bump that until tomorrow. The shake is still wet.
I was going to bump it, but then Brian said, hey, listeners, this is what I do for you.
That's true.
And that ruined it for me. Okay. I had to play it.
All right.
It's an honor just to be nominated.
That was good.
All right, Gina, what do we got?
All right.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
We'll jump off with this since I mentioned it earlier. Terry Crews did a little battle with CNN host Don Lemon Monday night over the Black Lives Matter movement. And, you know, he's I would love to use any other phrase, but come under fire for a series of tweets warning that Black Lives Matter doesn't morph into Black Lives Better. A lot of people have pushed back against that. During the interview, the two went back and forth over what Black Lives Matter means, what the movement means, what should be important to us. So the interview lasts around 10 minutes. I cut 90 seconds, and you'll see the two sort of struggle to find common ground as to who falls under what umbrella, and Don is just not having what Terry's saying.
This is the thing, Don. You know, Black people need to hold other Black people accountable. I said this the same thing. This is the Black America's version of the Me Too movement. If anything is going to change, we ourselves need to look at our own communities and look at each other and say, this thing cannot go down. And this is the thing, too. There are a lot of great, great people there who are held hostage by people who literally are running these neighborhoods with violence and then claiming that Black Lives Matter. When you look at the parents of these little kids who are mentioning, saying, hey, man, why aren't they speaking up for me, too? And this is what I'm saying. When I look at this whole thing about, you know, it's about who is controlling the narrative. It's got to be all Black Lives Matter. And what's happened is that because I even challenged it, because I even questioned and warned people,
Terry,
I became sick. Like, if I told you to wear a mask,
Terry,
they want to kick you out.
You're a high profile person. You're writing things out there. You know you're going to get backlash. You know people are going to respond to what you're saying on Twitter. So I don't think you should be surprised by that. I have a skin as tough as an armadillo because of what I do. And I think maybe you should adapt that. But here's what I have to say. The Black Lives Matter movement was started because it was talking about police brutality. If you want an all Black Lives Matter movement that talks about gun violence in communities, including, you know, Black communities, then start that movement.
Interesting. You know, Don Lemon famously, Max Pat, I'll put you on the spot, but God, a number of years ago, maybe like 2013 or something like that, did a whole like Black people get your shit together, started his program with like Black folk get it together speech. I remember it from the time, and it was a number of years ago, but he did not that pertains exactly to this conversation, but there is one that you'd be kind of surprised of him. I don't know what it was called, but anyway, you can look for it.
Didn't that seem like a little bit of a nutty answer of, well, if you want all Black lives to matter, you should start that movement. Like, what?
Well, there's kind of a catch 22, which is Black Lives Matter is there to address police brutality toward Black people.
Yes.
Couple of things, though, I would argue. If you go to their web page or go to anyone's web page and you have some stuff on Palestinians in Israel and how that should be addressed, and then the Black family unit and how the nuclear family needs to be replaced by, well, that's not about cops. And that's not about cops brutalizing Black. What does Israel and Palestine have to do with cops? So if you go, hey, it's just about this movement, then I think we can all respect that. But if you open yourself up to Israel and Palestine and family units, well, now you're kind of saying we've expanded, we've diversified. Mm-hmm. And anyone who's then observing the movement can then... Everything lands somewhere, you know, inner city cops brutalizing Black people and whatever policy is going on in Israel as it pertains to Palestine. Everything lands in between those two agendas, right? I mean, and they're also a problem, too, because you didn't name the group Brutal Cops Gotta Stops. Ooh, write that down. Brutal Cops Gotta Stop. You know how Jewish guys, wrote a lot of Christmas songs?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't white guys come up with chants for people on the street, you know, I mean, about cops, you know, for Black folk, you know?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Brutal Cops Got Two Stops. Let's see. We pluralize gots? Got Two Stops? What? Okay. Point is this. If you've called it Black Lives Matter, and sadly and unfortunately, a whole bunch of Black lives were taken in a short period of time on the streets of Chicago and New York and many other, you know, Baltimore and St. Louis and many other places. So when you're the title is Black Lives Matter, and there's a bunch of 2-year-old and 10-year-old and 12-year-old Black people that have been gunned down in the streets, then unfortunately, that's going to bleed into your title.
Right.
And that's what's going on as well.
I'm on the BlackLivesMatter.com website. I wonder if it was Whitlock, right? He was talking about the Palestinian part and the whatever part. It's either been struck. I've read this now a couple of times. I don't see it. So it's either been taken off there for obvious reasons or it was never part of it. I don't know. We'll have to verify that somehow.
Well, it was on the site. Otherwise, it'd be insane.
On the What We Believe section. And they have the nuclear family thing. Remember, they talked about, you know, we reject the Western prescribed nuclear family. It feels like the message has been co-opted a little bit. You know what I mean? Like almost like when you propose a bill in Congress and there's a lot of pork on it, like things that have nothing to do with it or things that are tangential related at best.
Well, that's the thing. So it's called Black Lives Matters. It's about brutal cops. But then there's a bunch of tangential stuff on the thing as well, like Brian said, like pork on the bill. And so now people are adding black lives not shot by cops onto the mix, which it's a pretty easy math to do for most people. And that's where the pushback is coming. Either way, you got to stay on point, people. Otherwise, you're going to get Terry Crews pissed off. Sorry.
Nobody wants that.
Yes.
Mary Kay Letourneau. Oh. Rest in peace. Mm. She was the former school teacher who made headlines in 1997 when she was convicted of having sex with a 12-year-old student whom she eventually married. She died of cancer on Tuesday. She was 58. Letourneau was 34 and married with 4 kids when she started a sexual relationship with 6th grade student Vili Falau. The relationship continued while she spent 7 years in prison. They got married. They had kids. She was released. They had 2 kids together, I think 2 daughters. She was divorced eventually in 2019. And Letourneau said she turned to Vili when she was having trouble in her first marriage. And remember, the cottage industry that blew up around this story, Only One Crime, Love, that book came out. The USA Network did All American Girl. There was, you know, countless movies of the week about this.
Yeah, it's so weird. I mean, 12 years old, God, I mean, I think when you think about it, you go, oh, that guy was 15 or whatever. 12.
12. That's a middle
school. What if I was like, but Adam, Sonny understands me.
Yeah. He's a very mature 14-year-old, Gina.
Yeah.
He listens.
There's something about the way he plays video games and eats Hot Pockets that drives a woman wild.
There goes a real man.
The way he unvelcros his shoes.
Yeah.
The way he always puts safety first.
I believe he's the kind of man who eventually will be able to ride a Papa Wheelie on a Schwinn. Of course, we're not there yet.
The way
yet.
He etches that sketch.
Yes. It's insane. Yeah. But then she got out of prison and got back with him, and then they had kids. I mean, I don't know.
The kids, the father and the children are virtually the same age. You know, like they're only a few years younger than he is.
It's a complicated story, but she did a horrible crime. She served the time. And then upon release, like does it change the details or the nuance of the story that they like got married and had kids?
And wasn't the separation or the divorce some sort of a loophole? It's not like they fell out of love. It was some sort of a, you know, like when that aunt sued her for hugging him too hard.
Sort of,
you know,
right.
I think that had something to do with it.
Well, you know,
so if it's true love, it's true love. And,
you know,
rest in peace.
Well, you know, you can always kind of, you can find your answers, I say all the time, by doing an extreme version of big pendulum swing in both possible hypothetical scenarios. So I've always said, if you want to know why sports cars look cooler with big fat back tires and thinner front tires, then you want to prove that point, then you go, all right, we'll make a sports car with thinner, skinnier back tires and big wide front tires. And you go, oh, that would look weird. And you go, okay, there's your point.
Yeah.
Now you know why it looks better. Now you know it definitively looks better with wider tires in the back. So if you want to know the story, like when Brian was saying, like, well, is it better that she served the time and then they got married and stuff like that? All you have to do is you go extreme. You go, okay, what if it was a story about her just having sex one time with a 12-year-old, and you go, oh, that makes her a witch. I mean, that just makes her a victimizer. I mean, mm-hmm. essentially a rapist at that point, yeah. right? So then you go, all right, well, what if she did time and then they got married and then they had kids and all that kind of stuff? You go, it's a different version of that. And that's how you can kind of find the truth. And it can still be bad. It's just better than, well, they went camping one time. She was supposed to be looking after the kids and they had sex near a log. Don Lemon, Black People, Clean Up Your Act from 2013. So says, what was that story?
So he revived a segment called No Talking Points, and he gave five ways to fix the black community. And we'll play you a little bit of it. We'll just start it at his number one point.
Get
it.
And number one, and probably the most important, just because you can have a baby, it doesn't mean you should, especially without planning for one or getting married first. More than 72% of children in the African-American community are born out of wedlock. That means absent fathers. And the studies show that lack of a male role model is an express train right to prison. And the cycle continues. So please, black folks, as I said, if this doesn't apply to you, I'm not talking to you. Pay attention to and think about what has been presented in recent history as acceptable behavior. Pay close attention to the hip hop and rap culture that many of you embrace, a culture that glorifies everything I just mentioned, thug and reprehensible behavior, a culture that is making a lot of people rich, just not you. And it's not going to. That said, though, the political right is not off the hook.
All right. Well, that's a different Don Lemon. First, although I do agree with that, LifeLock cyber criminals aren't letting this COVID-19 stop them from committing tax fraud with the extension of the tax filing date to July 15th. Oh, joy, that's coming up. There's going to be a rise in tax-related identity fraud. Remember, the IRS will not contact you directly by email, text message, or any online platform. So if you're getting a message from the IRS and you're getting a text or an email, sorry, my friend, that is some hacker trying to steal your identity. Identity thieves getting smarter all the time. They want to work. The ultimate work from home crowd, people, is the people trying to hack into your identity and steal it. Protect yourself with LifeLock. Right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LifeLock or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
Let's do one more Gina grad because we got the Danny Trejo. Waiting.
You got it. Well, we've been talking about a lot of Karens, but nary a Kevin until now. At least that's what I'm calling them. I don't know if you've seen this video, but a Florida man was caught screaming at an elderly woman inside a Costco store after she confronted him about not wearing a mask. Always happens to Costco. I don't know why. The altercation happened on June 27th at a store at Gulf Coast Town Center. The person who recorded the video said the man was getting aggressive towards an elderly lady after she asked him why he wasn't wearing a mask inside the store, and then went after the man who defended her.
You know,
here's the clip of him.
Here's what we're dealing with. I'm starting to realize, like, I'm just going to buy everything from Barney's of New York. Like, I'm going to buy chamois and food and cheese and beach towels. I'm just going there. It's a little more expensive, but you're not going to have to deal with this element. You know what I'm saying? Because
it's like your Southwest and bus element.
Yeah. Costco, first off, says we got free food. We got free samples. So you're already attracting a group of people who like grazing for free. You know what I mean? Then you have other people that are like, you want me to pay $13 for 87 pairs of tube socks? That's outrageous. I need to go somewhere.
Highway robbery.
I'm not paying a dime over $10 for the 87 pair of tube socks. So between that group and the, is that quiche? Could I have another? You're dealing with a group that you get a little white trash coursing through those veins, and they're eager for the fray. And different group.
Speaking of that,
than Barney's in New York. Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That's true. Now, when you see the video, please mind the T-shirt as well.
What's it say?
You're 6 feet away from you.
You're harassing me.
I'm not harassing you. You are impacting us.
Running the world since 1776.
Back off!
Wow. Wow.
Threaten me again!
Easy, buddy.
He's menacing that guy.
Back the fuck up! Put your fucking phone down!
Oh. He's coming after him.
Yeah.
Hey, you think he left the house thinking he might start a fight, or this just happened because an old lady asked him why he wasn't wearing a mask?
And to be
in fair, that T-shirt.
I don't think we were running the world for the first 25, 50 years.
Yeah, it's true. Also, notice a lot of people really aggressive, and they're wearing flip-flops, and that's not a good fighting shoe. You know what I mean? Like, I've never seen a guy
throw it.
I've seen a lot of guys spar in the boxing ring, and I've seen guys wearing running shoes and basketball shoes. I've never seen a guy spar in flip flops. I just don't. Yeah. I don't think it's good. It's not good for that front toe pivot or pushing off the ball, the back foot, whatever the technique you're using to fight. Flip flops are not going to help. Yes, Brian.
Unless you're such a badass that you just want to get to barefoot as quickly as possible. Mm.
Yeah.
That could be it. If people have lost it, there's a decorum thing that's out the window. There's also kind of an interesting thing, which is on one of my nightly talks with Dr. Drew after dropping the deuce in the woods. I was talking about kind of getting back to work, and you can get back to work after a 3-day weekend or 10-day summer vacation. But I think a lot of people after 4 months, I said to Drew, I said, I feel like a lot of people are like an elderly person that was in good shape, but they slipped and broke their hip in the tub. And it's like, when are they coming back? It's like, I don't know if they're ever coming back. Like some people, 4 months of nothingness or whatever they're doing now, the no routine, I think it wreaked havoc, sort of played havoc with their brain, but also there's going to be a certain percentage of our society that just doesn't come back. Like the old person that slipped in the bathtub, like, no, they're down. They're not.
That's
you
sad.
Mean, does it like reintegrate into society?
Yeah, like it's just having a hard time picking up the job and the schedule and getting back to it. You know what I mean? I think we can all feel it a little bit, like when you're at home for 2 months and you're kind of like, I don't know if I want to get out of my sweatpants. Good element of that.
Pretty comfy this way.
Christy's work did an internal survey, like who's ready and willing to go back to the office, you know, not just work because they're all still working, but go back into the office for a day to day. I think out of a few hundred people, two said they were ready to go back into the office. Now, of course, there's mitigating circumstances. It's a high rise and it's blah, blah, blah. A lot of people squished together and everything.
People are just used to it now.
Yeah, now that people are realizing. I think Adam, you alluded to it. It was like, we can do that. We can be very effective from our remote offices.
And would you like me to work an extra 2 hours or commute an extra 2 hours? Yeah. You know, like there's upsides for both. But if we can please, I just feel like it needs to be said because I don't know if you guys spend as much time on social media as I do. Brian probably does. But when you hear that it's only the left that's going insane or it's only the right that's going insane, we have This Is America, get that fucking camera out of my face, fuck you, this is my constitution. And we have a woman screaming at a man who dared to put her friend's baby, black baby, on his lap. Yep. So it's equal opportunity insanity.
It manifests itself in different ways, but it's equal.
Well put. All right. Last but not least, Simply Safe. No one should feel unsafe at home like that poor teacher did. So Simply Safe's been a sponsor for a long time, and they're on a mission, man, from day one to protect your home. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam. All right, outro with the news. Gina
Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
All right, Danny Trejo is waiting in the wings. He's such an interesting cat. I'm going to do an interesting one-on-one with him, and we'll take a bid Brian and Gina do. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with Danny Trejo right after this.